This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Many of you know that I have three lovely kids. During the last 2 years of lockdown, you may have been a bit surprised when you've seen them back at church because they're like this now. Two of them are teenagers and they are loving the fact that they are now taller than me. They are loving the fact that they can pat me on the head, they can reach things that I can't reach, and seem really quite smug about it. It's quite annoying. But really, I mean, I knew that was going to happen. My husband's 6'2". It was likely that they were going to be tall. My boys are like their father. Phil's sense of humour seems to have passed on to them as well, which isn't so great, but you know... Oh well, put up with it. What's your family like? Do you look like any your parents? If you have kids, do they look like you? Are there any resemblances between the generations? I wonder. Okay, I hope you're ready. We're going to try a little game today. This is called Guess the Famous Parent. It is as it says. We're going to try and guess the famous parent, making use of our beautiful screens. Hooray. So either in your pews or just shout out what your answers are. You may not recognize all these people, but the main point is just we're going to see some kids and then see their famous parent and just see if we can guess who their parent is to begin with. So here's number one. This is it. I won't give you the name until afterwards. Any guesses of who her famous mother actress? Just shout it out. Ah, she got it. Reese Witherspoon. Yep. Excellent. So a bit of similarity there. You can see it. A little bit in the eyes. Yep. Awesome. Next one. Now, I don't think this guy is an actor at all, but certainly his father is. This one's a bit harder. Any guesses? I think this one's quite hard. Yes. Well done, Harry. Denzel Washington. You can just... tried to get similar pictures there. Awesome. Next one. This is, I've got the wrong order. Meryl Streep. Yes, so this is Mammy Gummer. She's in The Good Wife, and her mother is Meryl Streep. So definite strong resemblance there. Okay, next one. And this is, I shouldn't give the name until after. Anyone know her mother? No? Go for it. Okay, so that's Zoe Kravitz and I'm not sure of her name, Lisa Bonet, or she was in The Crosby Show. And the last one, who's this? Yeah, and his very famous father, Darth Vader. Not so much of a similarity on that one, but you know, yeah, you get the point. Often... we can look at the child and see a resemblance of the father. So we have been lovingly designed by our Father to know him closely. God sent us his son Jesus so that we can see who he is and we can learn about who he is. God wants to be known by us. He sent his son Jesus so that we can know him more. So today I'm looking at the abundant life that we have in God, and that means being known by God and knowing him. We'll be looking at the seven different signs and I am statements that Jesus says about himself in John's Gospel. And they reveal to us who he is and therefore who God the Father is. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at a passage in John. And as Anne was talking about, one of the practices was about contemplation, using contemplation to just look upon Jesus and allow him to speak to us. So we're going to be doing that together. So if you have Bibles ready, we'll be doing that in a little while. I prefer paper. It just means I'm not getting distracted by little pop-ups that come up on my phone. So if you have a Bible with you, get it to hand. You'll need it in a little bit. And those of you at home can get your Bibles. Don't worry if you only have electronic, that's fine. So, let's have a look at some verses about what Jesus says about who he is. Jesus says in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And then 1 Colossians 1, verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. We can see who God is by looking at Jesus. So let's look at John's Gospel. John starts by introducing Jesus as the source of all life, who is God and was with God in the beginning. The first half of John's Gospel is often called the Book of Signs, since it recounts seven signs or miracles that Jesus performs. The miracles are signs because they not only demonstrate Jesus' power, but also point to who he is and provoke faith in him. So we have, let's just have a look at them, water into wine, healing a royal official's son, healing a disabled man, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing a man born blind, and raising Lazarus from the dead. And these signs are often linked to Jesus' teaching. For example, Jesus feeds the multitude with loaves and fish and then teaches that he is the true manna from heaven, the bread of life. So from these, we can see that Jesus is a healer. He's our provider. Raising Lazarus from the dead, we can see he has victory over death. And he has power over creation as he walks on the water. And then Jesus also uses seven metaphors or I am statements to describe himself. So on the next slide, we see these are the beautiful things that our Savior says about himself. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the gate for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and life. He is the way, the truth, and life. And he is the true vine. In addition to these seven, Jesus also identifies himself in an absolute sense as I am, an apparent allusion to the divine name Yahweh. When the Jewish leaders sarcastically ask if Jesus is greater than Abraham, Jesus replies, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus' use of the absolute I am seems to be an allusion to the burning bush in Exodus 3, where Yahweh tells Moses that his divine name is I am who I am, meaning the self-existent one. And it's a play on the divine name Yahweh. So these seven statements, I am statements, reveal to us who Jesus is. So during the next 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're going to be reading one chapter of John's Gospel each day. I wonder what Jesus might reveal to you about who he is during that time. As we contemplate and spend time really dwelling on these I am statements of Jesus, I wonder what he's going to show you again. If you read one chapter a day this week, then you will read that Jesus is the bread of life in chapter 6. I wonder how God might like to reveal this truth to you more as you spend time with him. I don't know about you, but I can read these things and I can keep the knowledge up here. And that is important. We need to learn these things. But I need to spend time with Jesus for these truths to become part of who I am. I can read about it, but it's him that reveals it to me as I spend time with him. So last week, David encouraged us to spend time with God in silence, learning how to be still and to know that he is God. Because there is a type of knowing about God that only comes when we actually stop and we sit still and we acknowledge that he is with us and he is in our lives. So silence is very much an essential part of my relationship with God. But more recently, I've found it easier to connect with God in a slightly different approach. I have a spiritual director who's wonderful, lovely, lovely lady. And she patiently listened to me as I moaned about struggling to connect with God recently. She encouraged me to try observing Jesus in situations as I was reading through the Gospels, using my imagination to enter more fully into the story. Reading it over a few times and spending time watching how Jesus reacts, pondering his reactions and words and contemplating them. It's helped me to realize where my perception of Jesus has become really clouded and confused as the events of the last 2 years have taken their toll. I don't know how you found it, but I found it really hard. And remembering who Jesus is, I think I do, but then I realize and react to different situations in a way that makes me think, oh, I've forgotten, he's my provider. He is good. He is powerful. Do I really believe Jesus is who he says he is? I think I do, but when I spend time contemplating these stories, I realize, like I've said, my perception becomes clouded, due to life's frustrations and difficulties. We just forget, don't we, sometimes? I mean, you might not. I do. I definitely do. So that kind of contemplation, just spending time reading a passage and just noticing who Jesus is, how he responds to people, what's his attitude? What's the people's attitude like? Just spending that time is one of the ways that we are inviting you to pray over these coming weeks. So, like I said before, I could explain this even more, but I would love it if you'd just come on a little journey with me now as we look at John 6, verses 1 to 15. So if you get out your Bibles and just find John 6, verses 1 to 15, one of the Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. Okay, so this story is about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. We're so used to hearing about Jesus feeding lots of people that actually when you stop and think, 5,000? That's a lot of people. It's a beautiful illustration of God's provision for us. And there's an invitation to share all that we have with him for him to use. So after we've read the story together, we'll spend a little time with the Holy Spirit just observing Jesus. We'll daydream about the situation presented in the story. Then, as if we are spectators, we'll observe the events as they unfold, watching, listening, and staying attentive to Christ, wondering what it would have been like to have been with Jesus in that moment. How would it have felt? What would we have noticed? I wouldn't try and analyze the story or learn lessons from it necessarily, but just be present to Jesus and notice your own internal reactions, good or bad. It's just about noticing what's going on. So I'll read the story and then I'll just ask a few questions, but I'll leave a lot of space. This is time for you and God. This is just time for you and Jesus to spend some time together. So I'll leave a bit of space in between some of the questions. Okay. So let's just take a moment. You may just want to get yourself sitting comfortably. Close your eyes if you want to just listen to the story. I'm very visual. I like to see the words. Make yourself comfy. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Jesus, we can hear that you are our provider, but please come and reveal this truth to our hearts again. You know what we need today. You know every single person watching online or sitting here in this place. You know what our hearts need this morning, what our minds need, what our spirits need. So we just surrender to you in this moment and invite you to come and do whatever you want to do. Whether we feel it or not, we know that you're always working. You're always powerful and you're always good. Okay, I'll read through the story. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. What do you notice? Just look through the story again. What do you notice? I'll give you a minute. What's the scene like? Is it noisy? Is it quiet? Is it peaceful? Full of laughter or questions? Imagine what it would be like to be sitting there with the disciples and with Jesus. How do you think the different characters are feeling or reacting to what's happening? How do you think Philip and Andrew are feeling during this scene? What do you think your reaction might be when Jesus just has 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish? What's your reaction when he says, go and feed them? And what do you notice about Jesus? What do you notice about his interactions with people? What do you notice about the things he says or the way he acts? And what do you notice about your own reactions to this story? If you have a need in your life, or if there's an invitation to you to bring what you have to Jesus, what do you notice when you read this story about your own internal spirit and emotions? Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here with us. Thank you that your word is living and active. And every single time we read it, you open new truths to us about who you are and your love for us. Thank you for the things that you will have revealed to our hearts today, whether we are aware of it or not. You're so good. You spend every opportunity showing us more about who you are. So just for a few minutes, it would be great if you're happy to, in your pews, maybe just to share what did you notice about Jesus in the story? Was there something new that stood out to you that you've not noticed before? What reactions did he have? Feel free to share any part of that. But I'll just give a couple of minutes to just sharing a little bit about how you found that. Okay. Sorry, that wasn't particularly long. But hopefully you all have had a chance just to share anything new that stood out to you. I think doing this just with all spiritual practices, I see them as an opportunity to place ourselves in God's presence for him to do what he wants. And sometimes I personally have a real emotional engagement with that, and sometimes I don't, but I still believe God is always working. So whether or not you feel like, oh, that was really helpful or not, I'd still encourage you to try doing that with different stories, because God does different things each day, doesn't he? So whether you love that or not, just have a good go. There's little steps you can follow on the website if that's at all helpful. But you can make up your own questions, obviously, to go with it. So to conclude, we have an abundant life in God. We are known by God. We are loved by him. And our response to that knowledge is the desire and need to know God ourselves. And he has sent Jesus so that we can know him. So my prayer for us all is that we can look back at 2022 as a year where we've learned more about God by spending time looking at Jesus, contemplating maybe the 7 I am statements of who he is. But who knows? Our Father loves to teach us so much. So that's my prayer for us this year. So I'd like to invite David to come, and we're going to be praying for a few people. But as they just come up, shall we just stand in response to what I've been talking about, and just offer ourselves for this 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you'd like to join with me, if you don't, just enjoy the opportunity to stretch your legs. But I'll just pray quickly and then hand over to Dave and Alison. So Father, we love you. We want to know more about you. And we ask that over the next 21 days of prayer and fasting, you will draw us into a closer relationship with you. We will learn more about who you are, who you really are, not what our life circumstances might teach us about you. But may you show us the truth of who you are. You are such a good God. You are such a powerful God. And we surrender ourselves again to you and ask that you will come and reveal new truths to us. Amen. Okay.
Just a bit of feedback. What did anybody want to share what they've learnt about what God is like from looking at his son? Just something new that has just jumped out at you from that wonderful lead that Helen gave us. Does anybody want to shout out something new they've learnt about the Father?
How calm that was. Jane mentioned 5,000 people is a lot of people, and the first thing Jesus does when he's got what seems like a meager, he gives thanks.
Yeah, so
seem like mayhem, does it?
So what does that tell you about the Father?
It tells you that he's there. Jesus knew he was there and would provide. And, that was his faith.
So Mark was just saying how calm it seemed in what could have been a crisis. But Jesus seemed to know the Father was there and what he was going to do. The Father is here. He's with us. He's with you. Anybody else?
When I read this, it jumped out at me as it never has before. That at the end, they collected up 12 baskets of leftover pieces. And I was thinking, but why? They're out in a field or on this green grass. 12 baskets among 5,000 men doesn't seem much. And I was thinking, gosh, that fits in so much with what we're thinking at the moment about not wasting in our world. And fascinating. I don't know what he did with it, but it really connected me to like what we're thinking about not wasting. Well, God knew about that.
I love that. Yes, that struck me as well. Beryl was saying how when Jesus says at the end, "Don't throw it all away; collect it all." Those 12 baskets. We have a Father who doesn't waste things, and we're thinking about waste, aren't we? Particularly with the climate change stuff, we're thinking about how we make good use of what the Lord's given us. One more? One more?
What's your views on the fact that there are 5,000 people only eat salt, bread and fish? And teach that, taught me that God won't be what you have. Sometimes we have small and we say, oh, that's not enough. But if you take that small to God, it will magnify and make bigger and fit into what you want it to be. So come with what you have from where you are.
There wasn't much there, but the boy brought what he had, and what we learn about the Father is that he can use the little things that you bring, that I bring. Wonderful.